We'll be in Matthew. We'll be in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and we're continuing with our series on a season in the life of Peter. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we're on part four. Matthew chapter 26. I do appreciate greatly Brother Elsie and, Brother George. How did I do that? Brother George for filling in for me while I was away, and enjoyed going back and listening to their preaching and thoroughly enjoyed it, and have heard nothing but good feedback from that time. So I do praise the Lord for that and thank the Lord for them filling in for me while I was away. But again, Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to read verse number 58, and then I'm going to jump over to verse number 69 and go down through to verse 75. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in, and sat with the servants to see the end. And we jump over to verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Lord, as we come before you once again on this Lord's Day, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. And as your word is opened, I just ask you to give me the words you'd have me to say this morning. You know what we need. There's something that we can learn from this account today. As we continue in our series on the life of Peter, we don't look at this moment this morning in the life of Peter to throw stones at him, to be judgmental against him, but to use it as an occasion to be reminded that it could be us, and perhaps has been most of us. And I just ask you to meet with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We've looked at where Peter's heart was leading up to this passage today. We've looked at his mindset. We've looked at his attitude. We've seen the contents of his heart as they've been laid out before us by Peter's own words, by his own actions. Oftentimes, like Peter, we are our very own greatest witness against our own selves by what we do at times, by what we say. We witness against ourselves. We can do something or say something and get caught, and we can say that whatever it is not in the heart, but what's in the heart does come out of the heart. And when it does, the best thing that we can do is to own up to it. And Peter's been showing us his heart. But God is bringing Peter full circle. God is allowing it all so Peter can see who he is. Oftentimes, that's when change happens. We don't change areas until we see it for ourselves. People can point things out to us. If we don't see it, then oftentimes we do nothing with it. But Jesus warned Peter. He said, Satan hath desired to have you. Peter doesn't see it. Jesus tells Peter why. Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Peter doesn't see it. Jesus tells Peter he's going to deny him three times. Peter doesn't see it. Even argues with Jesus as a result. So Peter is a case in point that oftentimes we reject what others say about us that doesn't reflect how we see us. And I encourage you, when someone says something to you about you that you don't believe is a reflection of who you are, don't ask yourself if they're right. Don't ask yourself if you're right. Ask God if they're right. And pray and study the Word and ask God to search you, to reveal to you the truth of the matter. As we look at Peter's denial of Christ, we see in verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off. So we read here of distance between Peter and the Lord. This is exactly what Jesus warned Peter of when Jesus told him, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Jesus told him that Satan's desire was separation. He warned him. And here we find Peter gaining more and more separation from Christ. Peter's heart was afar off long before his feet was afar off. Jesus had to be of the mind to some degree that things are falling apart within his inner circle. Judas, who's the devil, has betrayed him and is then in hell by this point. His disciples are following him from afar, except for John. All of this is leading up to the time that he's to be crucified. Jesus is getting ready to lay down his life for the men who are following him from afar. Jesus is getting ready to lay down his life for those who will soon shout his hymn to the cross of Calvary. And Peter is following from afar. He's following from a distance. Peter's already beginning the process within his heart of disassociation with Christ. Peter denied Christ in his heart before he ever denied Christ publicly. Peter is in the process of denying him as he's traveling from afar. But since we can't see our own heart clearly, Peter doesn't even realize it until the act is done. But not because Peter wasn't told. It's not because Peter wasn't warned. Peter refused to believe and heed the warning from the Son of God. We see in verse 69 and 70, now Peter sat without in the palace. And a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. We're looking here at the first denial of Christ. To deny means to disown, to refuse or neglect to acknowledge, not to confess. Now also state that in this moment in Peter's life, he was also lying to those around him. This preacher, this disciple of Christ, this soon-to-be apostle, which is a witness of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, is denying Christ before men. But men who knew who he was, men who knew that he was closely associated with Christ. Now, it's tragic when a man or woman outright denies Christ in and of itself, but it's also tragic when others witness the denial. It's tragic because people then ask, how good is a God that you won't stand with? How good is a God that you won't stand up for? How good is a God that you won't go the extra mile with and for? How good is a God that you would deny? Peter is finding himself in a place where his testimony at present time no longer supports his previous positions. And this happens when Jesus loses his rightful place on the throne of your heart. When Jesus loses his rightful place on the throne of your heart, your actions will soon bear witness to that shift. People fall out of church. People end up with the wrong friends, the wrong associations. They aren't inviting folks to church anymore as they've distanced themselves from church. They don't talk about Christ anymore as they've distanced themselves from him. It becomes, I used to go to church. It becomes, I used to be a follower of Christ. And it all begins when Christ is not allowed on the throne of the heart. When folks are distant from Christ in the heart, their feet, their hands, their eyes, their speech will soon follow. And we can learn from Peter today. If you don't want to do what Peter has done, then don't do what Peter done, which led up to what Peter's doing now, and that is allowing separation to take place between you and the Lord. When we read further on down, it gets worse. We see the second denial in verses 71 and 72. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." Key phrase, "and again." So he denied. But not only did he deny Christ, he denied with an oath. It would be something like this: "I promise you, I don't know him. I swear to you, I do not know the man." Now, when I read "the man," I'll be honest with you, it strikes somewhat of a nerve with me because it comes across as irreverent. Kind of like when I hear the man upstairs. He's more than the man upstairs. He's more than someone that we just tip our hat to. He's more than someone that we point our finger up to. You see that all the time. I had a conversation once with the boys. They see an athlete run into the end zone. They kneel down on one and point the finger up in the sky. And they say, "Oh, he must be a Christian." Maybe. Maybe not. Because we live in a culture where everybody wants to be Christian, seems like, without being Christian. Peter's referring to God here. Peter here is calling God in the flesh the man. "I do not know the man." Something else we can learn from this today: when Christ becomes distant in your heart, you'll lose reverence for him also. There are people, I have seen them fall out of fellowship with the Lord and then watch the church that they end up to, and it's always a place that is irreverent towards God. You don't just treat God like he's anybody, unless he's just anybody in your heart. Notice this also: when you're distant from Christ in your heart, you hang out and sit around people whose heart is in the same place as yours. Peter wasn't with John. Peter wasn't even with the other disciples. He was around God haters. He was around Sabbath breakers. He was around infidels, those who would soon shout Christ to the cross. He was amongst a crowd that would make it difficult to stand, difficult to be faithful to the cause of Christ. I decided a long time ago that I want to associate myself with people who reverence God. I want to go to a church where people reverence God. Peter is getting it all wrong at this time in his life, and it all started with Satan's work of separation. Now, when we arrive at the third denial, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee." It's verse 73. Emphasis on the word "they." It was more than one that approached Peter and said, "Surely thou also art one of them." One of who? One of the disciples. One of the faithful adherents to Christ. We see this from the word "surely." It would be like this: "I know for sure you art one of them." But how could they know? Because I've seen you with him. This speaks of Peter's reputation. This speaks of Peter's testimony. He was known by his fellowship with Christ. He was known by his walk with Christ. He was known for his preaching of Christ, which is a good testimony to have. But Peter is unraveling at this point. And by the way, if Peter could, we all could. And it's important to note that we don't have to come right out and say, "I don't know Christ." Our actions can too. And that's what gets us at times in the most trouble. Our bitterness betrays him. Our anger can betray him. Resentment can betray him. All sin can betray him. When sin springs forth out of the heart of a believer, it's evident that the heart is not as close to God as it could be and should be. Someone gets caught up in scandal, one of the first things believers say is, "I hope they were truly saved," which is interpreted, "I hope they know God." Why do people ask this at times? Because at times, the actions of believers deny Christ. When I was away from the Lord, I gave followers of Christ room to be concerned, because the life that I was living was not a life that was a reflection of Christ. I was living a life that denied Christ. I wasn't allowing Christ to influence my life. I was not allowing the Word to influence my life. And because of that, I gave people room to be concerned. And sometimes what we don't realize is that our actions can deny the Lord. The word bereath essentially means to betray. They knew Peter was lying. They're essentially saying, you're saying you don't know him, but we know you do. And Peter, I'm guessing, didn't like being called a liar and a betrayer. He didn't essentially like being told that he's a denier. They knew who he was and who he had been with. And it says in verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. On the last denial, the third and final, Peter has the ultimate climax of his betrayal by cursing and swearing and once again denying Christ. So we can also note this. When you're distant from Christ in your heart, your speech will betray Christ. When I was away from the Lord, I said whatever I wanted to. That separation between me and the Lord was evident in my speech. It's evident in what I talked to people about. When you're distant from Christ in your heart, your speech betrays Christ. You see, Peter knew that Christians don't talk just like anybody else. And I believe that by Peter using that language, Peter thought that it would add further credence to his lies, that he wasn't with Christ, and that he didn't know him. And you know, even the world knows. Even the world knows that there are certain words that Christians don't typically use. Even the world knows that. And when they hear someone who professes Christ use those words, they scratch their head a little bit. I think Peter knew that. And he said, you know what? Maybe if I talk like them, they'll believe me. I don't think they did. The Bible says, and immediately the cock crow. You know, God knew the rooster was going to crow right when it did. God designed the rooster to crow. God put the crow in the rooster at that exact moment. God could use a donkey to talk. He could use a rooster to crow to get his point across. And he did. Use the rooster. Rooster did what the Lord said it was going to do ahead of time. Peter did what the Lord said he was going to do ahead of time. God knew Peter was going to deny him for the third time right when he did. And God told Peter ahead of time what he was going to do. And Peter denied that he would deny. I remember when I was away from the Lord, the Holy Spirit would bring to my remembrance verses that I had memorized in school. Things I'd heard from the preaching, things I'd heard from the teaching, things I'd heard in Sunday school would just bring it all back to my mind, bring it back to my memory. I knew if I stayed on the path that I was on, I was going to end up going the way that people said that I would go. And you know what you do? You deny it. You deny it's going to happen to you. People used to say, how could somebody whose dad was an alcoholic ever mess around with alcohol? Well, you deny that the same thing that happened to them is going to happen to you. You think you're going to be exempt. You think it ain't going to do to you what it did to somebody else. And I've seen it in other kids' lives. There's a couple of kids that I know, several kids right now that I know, who we were there when their dad died, cirrhosis of the liver. And all of them drink now. And we think, how could that be? Think about it in Lamentations. Is it nothing to all ye that pass by? There's the destruction that's going on. Does it mean anything? Sometimes we see stuff, we see other people in destruction, and we think it ain't going to be us. It's not going to happen to us. It's not going to happen to me. It happened to them, but it ain't going to happen to me. I'm the exception. Peter denied that he would deny. And in part, he denied in his heart before he ever denied to them people outside the palace there at the trial of Christ. But before we get to verse 75, we're going to jump over to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 22. Chapter 22, verses 61 through 62. Luke 22, verses 61 through 62. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Notice the phrase, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. I cannot give you a visual representation of that look this morning. But if I had to guess what emotions and feelings was within that expression, I believe in part it would be sorrow. I don't believe Jesus likes to look at and behold his children in failure. I'm sure there was a sense of rejection on his face. We know he was hated of men. He was despised and rejected. I'm sure it carried a look of rejection. I'm sure there was a look of betrayal. But also, I believe there would have been an expression of love, also an expression of compassion, maybe even pity. Jesus knew that he had to go to the cross and die not only for Peter, but the rest of the human race. Jesus also knew that he wasn't done with Peter. I'm thankful for that also, even in the times in our life when we mess up, God sees the bigger plan. Sometimes we don't. We don't see the bigger plan. God sees, even in this moment, when Peter is at about his lowest point. We're going to look next week, Lord willing, at when Peter goes back into his former life. We're going to look at that. He's getting ready to the lowest point, the rock bottom, where there's nowhere else to look but up. Peter's on his way there. But Jesus knew that there was something bigger. There was more to Peter than where he was. It was more to Peter than what he was doing right now. He knew that Peter wasn't done falling. And then we see in Matthew 26 in verse 75, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So the first phrase, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. Have you ever been forewarned of something to then find yourself in the very situation that you were forewarned about? If you do, you remember that you were warned. Peter remembers what Jesus said to him. Jesus warns Peter along the way, even from the beginning, but Peter argues. Peter's distant from the Lord. Peter does what Peter says he'd never do, and he remembers it all. He remembers the conversations. And Peter has a strong emotional response. But as you know the story, this strong emotional response wasn't repentance. Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, weeping's not just a few tears. You have no tears left. You ever been in a place like that where you feel like you have no tears left? You've cried them all? I've been there on occasion a few times, got none left. Wept bitterly signifies crying in a way that shows intense and prolonged grief or sorrow. It's a way of expressing deep emotional pain, often associated with moments of personal failure, loss, or remorse. The phrase wept bitterly is a vivid way of conveying a strong emotional reaction. It implies a deeper level of weeping than simply crying, suggesting a sense of sadness, regret, or anguish. In the Bible, it's used to depict moments of profound remorse, such as when Peter wept bitterly after denying Jesus. The bitter aspect of the weeping emphasizes the intensity of the pain and the sorrow. You know, you can cry, you can weep, you can experience sadness to a great degree, you can regret something, you can experience anguish, a profound remorse, you can be sorry, and still not repent. Peter has this experience. He's a case in point. Peter has this experience. And he doesn't run to Christ. He runs back into his former life. Right after the denial. And we see this strong emotional reaction from Peter. And when you would think it would compel him to Christ, no, because he's not done yet. Peter wasn't done. I don't know if he just said, you know what, I'm not worthy anymore, or this, that, and the other. I don't know what Peter was thinking, but he didn't run to Christ. He got up from there and says, essentially, after that strong emotional response, I'm going to keep going in the other direction. There was a certain amount of sorrow, a certain amount of regret, a certain amount of anguish. I remember when I was away from the Lord, there would be times where I would, it's like the Holy Spirit would reveal to me who I was. Oftentimes it was looking in the mirror. I didn't like the mirror. I didn't like to look in the mirror, you know. Because I saw the pain, I saw the hurt, I saw the alcohol, I saw the long days, the long nights. When I looked in the mirror, that's all I saw. Every once in a while, I'd get it's almost like the Lord would reveal to me who I was. And at times, it would bring me to a place of, oh man, I don't like this, or I don't like who I've become. There was a certain amount of regret, a certain amount of sorrow. There was a certain amount of anguish. Sometimes there was even tears, but there wasn't repentance. Because I'd get up the next day and I'd do the same thing right over again. Repentance, not doing the same thing. Repentance is a turn towards God, and you start doing things His way. Peter's not experiencing repentance. Even after his denial, he's not experiencing it. But next week, we'll look at the climax of this season in the life of Peter. Back in his former life, he's away from God. He's also led others into rebellion against God. And sometimes we don't realize that, but people are following us. You don't have to be a leader to have followers. Or in a position of leadership, I should say. To have followers. Everybody in this room, somebody is watching you and would be impacted by your compromise. Everybody in here, there are people watching you. They might not directly fall out of church, but you could plant a significant amount of doubt in their mind to do the same. P- Peter leads others into rebellion against God. And then the resurrected Savior shows up to perform a work of repentance in the heart of Peter and the others, to draw Peter back to himself. It's amazing how that is. The Lord's trying to get Peter's attention before these series of falls. He don't have it. He don't have Peter's attention. You know, sometimes the Lord's going to come up to us and he just don't have our attention. Sometimes it takes a series of events for him to have it. And that's what had to happen in the life of Peter. Peter had to have, he had to go through a series of events in order for the Lord to have his attention. Was it the Lord's will for Peter to go through those series of events? No, it would have been the Lord's perfect will for Peter to say, "Yes, Lord, you're right. How do I avoid all these events that are to follow? How do I avoid it?" He didn't do that. He denied it all. It's not going to happen to me. And some people, and you could probably add me to that list, I want to say, people that sometimes need events, need things to reveal to them who they are. Sometimes bad events. The last look that Peter had from the Lord on this side of the cross was again the look of Christ looking at him, because Peter had just denied him. And then post-cross, the next time Peter sees our Lord and Savior, the resurrected Savior, it was to perform a work of repentance in Peter's heart and others, to draw him back to himself. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to look at the repentance of Peter. Lord, as we come before you,